An Asian girl applies to Milton Academy, a prestigious New England independent school for admission. Her TOEFL scores are great. Her essays are great. The admissions office Skype interviews her. She is great. They enthusiastically send their signature blue and orange admissions package and look forward to welcoming her. Since she is traveling alone, the school helpfully sends a person to pick her up from the airport. The girl arrives. But strangely, her English is not as good as the admissions office had been led to expect. Indeed, as time goes on, it becomes clear that the girl who has come is not the girl who applied at all. It is instead her sister. How did that happen? What were her parents thinking that they put her on the plane? What was her sister thinking that she gave an interview to a school she was not going to attend? What was the poor girl herself thinking as she stood all alone by the Boston airport baggage claim? The girl was plainly wrong to agree to this plan, and her family was wrong, too, to have put her in this position. But what does it say that she and her family should have ever imagined this plan could work? Are these things the tip of an iceberg about which we need to know more? Well, our author, Gish Jen, gives a resounding yes, indeed, it is something we need to learn more about in The Girl at the Baggage Claim, explaining the East-West culture gap. It's a book in which we are encouraged to note that differences in nurture really do affect how we take in and process the world around us and other folks in our lives as well. How do we edit the world we take in? For it is nurture much more than nature that Gish Jen writes about as she sets out to explain the East-West culture gap. Our news media, academia, sometimes even our politicians are wont to tell us it's an increasingly interdependent world with more and more intercommunication going on, something that many of us will remember happened, about 100 years ago with the rise of the Victorian Internet, the age of the telegraph. As then, East and West, North and South are coming into contact, and we hope not as much conflict. But let's note that the suppositions this book rests upon presumes that A, we are different from cultures and worldviews not our own, B, that we can understand those different worldviews, and C, that we want to both acknowledge and learn from and about each other. If you agree, listen on. If you disagree, I still think this book will have something to share with you. If we presume those prerequisites, today's book is well worth a read, because Jen talks with us about differing views of how we understand ourselves as individuals, individuals who act according to our personal thoughts, desires, a concept that is most important for those of us living and learning in the West, while those who find themselves in Eastern cultures are more likely to understand themselves as parts of a family or a larger cultural milieu, Jen tells us, using terms avocado pit to briefly define those of us raised in the West, and flexi self to describe those raised in Eastern cultures. And what is East and what is West, as far as Gish Jen is telling us? Well, she tells us, quote, I have brought into my story many of the other places in the world where we find flexi selves, as the difference in self we have roughly conceptualized as between the West and the East is actually a difference between the West and the rest. With the West, mostly meaning Western Europe, North America, and some formerly British colonies like Australia and New Zealand, and the rest, meaning the rest of the world, including to various degrees India, Israel, Lebanon, Afghanistan, France, Ghana, Mexico, and countless other countries, as well as many parts of the United States. The concerns in this book affect everyone, from the Israeli long-term unemployed to the Montenegrin New York doorman, whose mother would have thrown herself under the number 6 train had he not married another Montenegrin. And whether we find ourselves in East or in West, Jen writes about the ways in which our cultures have come to explain themselves through widely accepted cultural conventions, well-known mythologies, and long-lasting stereotypes of our cultures and those of the other cultures from other parts of the world. Examples of our differing views of both ourselves and the world in which we all live abound. From a discussion from Eastern and Western views of the iconic man versus tank photo from the Tiananmen unrest that convulsed so much of Beijing and Western media in 1989, to the titular story that opens the book and gives the book its title, The Girl at the Baggage Claim. Two, as I mentioned earlier, Jen delves into Western and Eastern mythologies to discover the different ways our cultures have come to explain ourselves and our worlds. To its credit, The Girl at the Baggage Claim's narrative takes an often squishy view of that East-West cultural geography, while the avocado pit, those of us in the West, and the flexi self, kind of everywhere else, are frequently mentioned and referenced in the text. Gish Jen is wont to note that more often than not, many cultural characteristics she talks about with us, memorization and copying of classic texts as a key part of the educational process for many in the East, for example, are more matters of emphasis rather than sharp distinction between East and West. And so interested is she that her book offers a multi-page review of books, articles, videos she's used to write her own study of East-West differences. If you're looking for a place to start your own deeper research after reading this book, Jen has given you a great start worth examining. Well, in the end, Jen concludes with a return to the girl of the baggage claim to whom we were introduced at the very beginning, that the girl had cheated her way into that private academy, as a Westerner may see the opening story, or the young girl had leveraged her family's help to find her way into an elite boarding school, as someone from the East might read that story. In any case, the girl did not do well in her new home, and the academy found a new American school for her to attend, at which point we lose track of her life in the West, though Jen goes on to speculate a bit about what might have happened to this young teen suddenly moved into a culture far from her home. Did she argue with her family? Jen writes. Did she blame them for putting her in a school that was expecting her to speak English when she didn't? Maybe. And if she did, we can't blame her. After all, she was likely 13 or 14 at the time, far too young to know what was in store for her or what the repercussions would be. We might even imagine that the family did not know either. But it's harder to let them off the hook. More likely, they scolded her for not trying harder and lectured her on how much they had sacrificed to send her to America. In reaction to which, having had it with America, this whole idea, everything, perhaps she resisted her new school, which was in California, and made her family take her home. But then again, perhaps she picked herself up from her failure, as she had from so many other things, and finding a friend to study with, worked on her English until it was as good as her sister's. Perhaps she gave up cheating as well, and perhaps she went on to make a life in America. Perhaps she learned to train guide dogs, or keep accounts, or write apps, or make movies. Perhaps she became a writer of fan fiction, or part of a team that wrote fan fiction. Perhaps she made mixtapes, became a wedding photographer, or an architect. Perhaps one day she found herself trying to be louder and more self-confident because someone told her that to be too self-effacing is a problem, that she should not hide her light under a bushel. Audition, she was told in so many words, audition, audition. And perhaps many of her efforts came out wrong at first because her discomfort came through. Or perhaps she succeeded, only for people to say, so aggressive. Then perhaps she went back to ways of being she knew better and forged alliances with all sorts of people, including her enemies, only to have people say, you can't trust her. Does anyone really know her? And perhaps she found herself longing for silence, dog-earing poems like Emily Dickinson's. The words the happy say are paltry melody, but those the silent feel are beautiful. Perhaps she laughed. And perhaps in love, she looked for unspoken understanding when she read how the Indian poet Rumi told his love, quote, I closed my mouth and spoke to you in 100 silent ways, end quote. Perhaps she shivered. Perhaps the girl will yet come to make cultural decisions of her own. Well, it's my hope that The Girl at the Baggage Claim nurtures a conversation among readers, be they of the East or the West, as we learn together to both recognize what makes our cultures unique and, I hope, learn to appreciate and learn from cultures that we feel are different from yet worthy as our own. The Girl at the Baggage Claim, Explaining the East-West Culture Gap. It's a good start. It's by Gish Jen, It's available at all of our local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.